Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Decision. To target Iran's nuclear facilities with the awesome and righteous might of the United States will change history.
Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, reacting to the U.S. bombing of those nuclear sites in Iran. And now we take you live to Jerusalem, CBS's Robert Berger. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
After the attack, the U.S. Bombing Iran, then I heard a barrage of missiles were sent Israel's way. What is the current situation?
Yes, it's been a tense morning here in Israel. There were three salvos very close together of about 15 missiles fired from Iran at Israel, hitting north at central and southern Israel. Several of the missiles were able to get through the defenses. There are no serious injuries reported, although some damage. So this, but you know, the idea of these missiles being fired in daily, more than once, just is sort of disrupting life here in Israel, obviously.
Robert, what about IDF actions in Iraq today, or Iran rather? Can you outline any of that for us?
Sorry, what was the question?
What about the Israeli forces? Have any strikes in Iran?
Yeah, as we speak, they're hitting Tehran and a number of regime targets, which is a little bit different than what we've seen. Earlier, they hit the Fordow nuclear facility, which was hit by the United States, suggesting that maybe that site wasn't obliterated. But now, as President Trump had said, but now they're hitting targets in Tehran, the capital, including targets belonging to the Revolutionary Guards, other regime targets. It's a little different than military targets, suggesting after President Trump said that maybe regime change is a good idea, Israel is now targeting the Iranian regime.
Generally, Robert, I would imagine the reaction in Israel to the U.S. stepping up was positive.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was really hoped that the U.S. was going to join this war, especially to hit that Fordow nuclear facility, which was buried deep underground. It was one of the sites that Israel hadn't hit because it didn't have those big bunker buster bombs that were necessary. So the U.S. fired 14 of those bunker buster bombs that weigh 30,000 pounds. These B-2 bombers taking off from Missouri, flying all the way to Iran and hitting those nuclear facilities. And yeah, Israel was very pleased to see that happen. And this seems like maybe a one-off, though. The United States doesn't really want to go further than that. So now Israel is continuing the airstrikes in response to those missile attacks.
Robert, Iranian lawmakers voted over the weekend to close the Strait of Hormuz. What is the status of that situation?
They haven't done that yet, and I don't know if that's just more of a declaration. If they did that, then you're talking about a major escalation, which would involve further military action by the United States. The Strait of Hormuz is this narrow waterway where 20% of the world's oil travels from the Persian Gulf toward the west or toward other countries. Closing that would certainly escalate the situation. I'm not sure the Iranians are going to do that.
That would be, to them, economically devastating as well.
Well, because of the repercussions taken by the U.S., you're right. They would cut off the world's oil, but their oil supplies and exports would certainly be targeted in response.
Well, Robert, we appreciate your time. Be safe, and thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
Man, so many facets to this thing, Larry, and the possibilities of what can happen and what will happen. It's all, we all have to just be on alert to pay attention to these developments.
Well, I think
they
it has
seem to come at us. We have one right now. The gate of Iran's notorious Evin prison in Tehran has been hit in a suspected Israeli strike. I don't know what meaning that has, but that's just the latest thing to come in.
We don't know what's coming next, except there is a extreme high sense of security concerns in many areas around the world. So we'll keep you posted as things develop. Listen for The Drive at 5, the stories driving the day's news. Weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Well, a lot of people enjoyed the weekend, summer heat and all, and heard of the bombing, U.S. into Iran's nuclear sites. And Paul, a lot of people trying to catch up right now and get details. One of the questions is, how did we as a nation do this? From the Pentagon, CBS's Charlie Daggett.
The B-2s led a force of more than 125 American aircraft in an operation the Pentagon dubbed Midnight Hammer. Seven B-2s took off at midnight on Friday, headed east for Iran's nuclear production sites, while seven more flew west on a decoy mission to the Pacific. It was a B-2 head fake, Joint Chiefs Chairman Dan Kane said, to maintain tactical surprise.
A deception effort known only to an extremely small number of planners and key leaders here in Washington and in Tampa.
The B-2 strike package flew 18 hours to their targets in Iran, refueling multiple times along the way. Before entering Iranian airspace, the B-2s were joined by F-22 and F-35 fighter jets to escort them in a tightly timed maneuver requiring exact synchronization.
The lead B-2 dropped two GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrator weapons on the first of several aim points at Fordow. As the president stated, the remaining bombers then hit their targets as well.
A third nuclear site was hit by two dozen Tomahawk missiles fired from a submarine offshore.
The Tomahawk missiles being the last to strike at Esfahan to ensure we retain the element of surprise throughout the operation.
Satellite images of the deeply buried production facility at Fordow shows holes indicating where the penetrating bombs hit.
In total, U.S. forces employed approximately 75 precision-guided weapons during this operation. This included, as the president stated, 14 30,000-pound GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrators, marking the first ever operational use of this weapon.
Officials don't think a single shot was fired toward the American aircraft on the way in or out, as if Iran's air defenses never saw them. We're told that U.S. troops across the region were not informed of this plan to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities until it was underway, but that enhanced force protection was already in place in case of Iranian retaliation. Charlie Daggett, CBS News at the Pentagon.
So a lot of information about the operations and the impact. 14 of these bunker buster bombs, 30,000 pounds dropped.
And then like more than two dozen Tomahawk missiles fired.
Yeah, 125 aircraft involved in the procedure, including, and I would guess, the refueling wing, 171st refueling wing, right out of Pittsburgh. I'm not sure that they were, but they are always refueling aircraft around the world.
They may have been involved there. I can tell you this. These B-2 crews were in the air for around 36 hours.
That's unimaginable.
And if you've seen interior pics of the B-2 cabin, there's really not much room in there. And basically, they have what amounts to a little porta potty and no privacy, a cooler with some food in it, and a place to lie down. But these guys were, and one female pilot, by the way, on this mission, they were in and out of there safely and successfully, not a single casualty or loss, which I find to be, thank goodness, right?
Yeah, and yeah. As you heard, Charlie suggest not a single shot fired in or out.
They don't think that happened. And perhaps the work that the Israelis did in advance on air defense systems and the like, plus our stealth capabilities, probably made the single most biggest difference there, I guess. So little we know right now. And the fact that the Israelis followed up with an attack today at Fordo, the underground facility, the fact that they followed up today tells me that either A, they had information from the scene, like some of their people have been on the scene and said, let's do a little more damage, or perhaps they just want to make sure.
And the immediate reaction from Iran to Israel, as we heard with Robert Berger in Jerusalem just moments ago, was a barrage of missiles sent their way.
Again, targeting civilians. The Iranian position has to be untenable here. Even at the United Nations, you would assume that that people are going to roundly criticize Iran for going after civilians when the Israelis are targeting military and government installations.
Yeah, I can't imagine what life is like in Iran for the people.
Imagine millions of people. I don't know what the population is in Tehran. I think it's like 6-7 million, maybe more. And all of those people who are caught up in the middle of this that really want no part of it. It was, as we heard from the professor from Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh, last week, only 1% of Iran's nuclear electricity is generated by nuclear power. 1%. And they're spending trillions. I mean, is that not proof positive that the people there are being deprived of what they, what they should have with those trillions of dollars, and what the Iranians are really up to with that? I mean, if they keep saying it's right, civilian and so forth, and it's their nuclear program is not targeting developing a nuclear weapon, and yet only 1% of their power is being generated by the nukes. Come on.
Now the world holds the breath. See what happens next. 625 at KDKA from the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Let's get an update from Brandon Rossi for Allen Gamble.
Thanks, Larry. And there's a bullseye right now over in the Monroeville area on the Parkway East inbound, or outbound, I should say. It is a standstill coming your way from William Penn Highway onto the Parkway East. Again, that's on the inbound side, not the outbound side. My apologies. Also have a crash to report just on the other side on the off ramp coming from the Parkway East around the toll area, right as you merge onto the turnpike. So a lot happening right now in that general area. Elsewhere, morning rush starting to form. Parkway East has traffic both sides, inbound backed up to the Wilkinsburg Interchange. Outbound side, there's a lot happening before the tunnels and on the Parkway West inbound. Not too bad, but delays pushed back to the middle of the far side of Green Tree Hill. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 6:35. I'm Brandon Rossi on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And again, the extreme heat warning until 8 o'clock Wednesday night. 95 today. We're at 75 right now. Hot, hot. Right now it's hot. So what do you do if you work outside? First person I thought of was Joe Potocnik, one of our partners here, KDK, for many years, founder and owner of JP Roofing and Siding. It's hot, hot, hot. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
44 seasons in. This isn't your first rodeo, but when it gets this hot, I mean, how do you deal with it with your team?
Larry, it's another brutal day with this heat upon us. You know, we take all necessary precautions to, you know, when they emphasize how important it is to stay safe. And, you know, while you're working in this heat, your health and safety are top priorities. And some of the tips that we do have for heat exhaustion or heat stroke is stay hydrated. Drink fluids like water, Gatorade, no caffeine, no sugar drinks throughout the day if you don't need it or not. It's good for you to replenish yourself there. Take necessary breaks. That's very important. You don't want to get nauseated, or if you feel nauseated or dizzy, you know, you want to come down, rest in the shade, jump in a truck with the air conditioning unit. I have project managers on every job, Larry, just, you know, looking for this, and we've had meetings on this. We, you know, dress appropriately, you know, wear lightweight, light colored, breathable clothing. Sun protection is very important. Sunscreen, a hat, try to protect yourself from the direct sunlight. Thing you have to, what's really important, Larry, is know the signs of the heat exhaustion, heavy sweating, weakness, dizziness, nauseated, and headaches. Heat stroke is body temperature. I mean, you could be confused, and it approaches you very fast, Larry. And that's something that we want to be aware of and take all the necessary precautions to make sure everybody's safe and healthy.
Yeah, Joe, obviously for your team that's outside. And what about for people's home? I noticed the attics obviously get extremely hot on days like this. And there's not much you could do about that, though.
No. Well, it's a well-vented roof with air circulation in there is good for the home itself. Your air conditioning unit doesn't run as much. It warranties the shingles. You have to have proper ventilation. Us being platinum preferred with Owens Corning, we take the extra steps to figure out the NFAs of the cubic square feet of 55% intake, 45% outtake. They're guaranteeing these shingles last 40 to 60 years, and we give lifetime warranties on the labor and the material. We have inspections done by Owens Corning, maybe a half dozen to a dozen every year. Just because we are platinum preferred. There's only 9 of us in Pittsburgh, but the attics get very hot. It could be 130 to 150 degrees. A well-vented attic will keep the ceilings cooler on the second floor or the first floor of a ranch.
Yeah, I know. Is that something you would check for people if they have concerns that they're not getting proper ventilation in the attic?
Yes, Larry. Our sales team we'll go into the attic to see if the insulation that was installed or the added insulation is not choking the overhangs. And some homes have no overhangs at all. We have to put an inflow vent in either at the gutter edge or 18 to 24 inches up the roof to get the intake. Some homes have soffit vents up there, but the holes were never drilled in the wood, whoever have done that, you know, many years before us. So we have to take the added precaution to vent it properly, and that's very important in any roof installation.
Yeah, I know that we had, after many years, decided to insulate a garage that's attached. And then in that attic, I noticed it would get extremely hot. And then when you took a look at it, you know, we added a vent with a fan that's automatic based on the temperature and then the amount of humidity in there, which was a game changer.
Yes. Yeah, some roofs need just a power fan. It's an attic ventilator that has it's a temperature and humidity for the winter. Wintertime, you need air circulation. Some roofs that are hips that you cannot put a get your 45% outtake, you have to add the power ventilator to get the draw so it will be properly vented.
Well, Joe, stay cool, big brother, and keep up the great work. Thanks for the tips.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. You guys enjoy the day today.
All right. Joe Potocnik, 44 seasons in, doing what he does. So he knows how to handle the heat. But I feel for anybody that has to work outside right now, we're looking at maybe tying or breaking a record today of 95 degrees for the day.
White News Desk Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said Sunday the U.S. does not seek war with Iran in the aftermath of the bombings of three nuclear sites. And retired Marine Corps General Kenneth McKenzie agrees, but says,
"We've made it clear to them that if they choose to attack us, our response will be overwhelming."
So I think a lot of people hoping this is a one-off and things don't escalate beyond this for us.
So far, they haven't. Now, we're in the middle now of a heat wave expected to last through Wednesday night. What a marathon.
Oh, man. And, you know, it's oppressively hot yesterday. I was thinking about all the people sitting at PNC Park.
Wow, these people are crazy. Paul Skeens did not pitch yesterday, but Pirates fans turned out in big numbers anyway to get a Skeens Superman bobblehead.
Oh, we were so excited to get the Superman bobblehead because he is the Superman pitcher. We love Paul Skeens.
Are we in this town the craziest fans for bobbleheads? Remember the whole thing with the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads for the Penguins?
Wow.
And the truck was hijacked.
I mean, it turned into breaking news for crying out loud.
I know. And then in this case, so Paul Skeens, he's pulling open his jersey, and there's the Superman S on his chest. In fact,
and he's got his little mustache going.
He does.
It doesn't include the beard, though.
And the lines were long to get it. And by the way, the Pirates got it done.
Yeah, they exploded in the fifth inning for 5 runs.
Yeah, so 8-3 over the Rangers there in Milwaukee for a game tonight. Extreme heat. A warning in effect from the National Weather Service until at least 8 p.m. Wednesday night. And joining us is meteorologist Jason Frazier from our National Weather Service office here in Pittsburgh. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. We checked in last week. Of course, that was about storms and heavy rains. Now the opposite. We've got this high temperature and no rain anticipated for at least the next couple of days anyway overall. So we could be flirting with a record high in the mid-90s today, right?
That's correct. So the record high for today in Pittsburgh is actually 95 degrees, which is what we have forecasted for a high today. And that goes back, our records go back to 1875. So this is definitely not a temperature that we see too often here in the central or western PA area and in Pittsburgh itself. So combine that with relative humidity that's going to be warm, and heat indices are going to be easily into the hundreds and in likely over 105 degrees. So people need to continue to take safe precautions, maybe reduce your outdoor activities and make sure you're hydrated, and check on those who maybe don't have maybe some of the systems in place with air conditioning, or they may be more sensitive to heat conditions that we're going to be seeing over the next couple of days.
Jason, heat waves like the one we're experiencing, how often do they happen?
They aren't too frequent, but I would say if it's kind of like once every about 5-6 years or so that we can see these sort of conditions with these sort of days where we potentially could be above 95 degrees. We have seen that in the recent past with 2020 having a streak of consecutive days with over 90 degrees that are going to be longer maybe than we'll see here. And we had some low temperatures that remained above 70 degrees. That was pretty long back in 2011. And so we can see this, and we have seen this in historical records, but these are also the once in every 5 years or so that's events that we have to be aware of and take our precautions with and reduce our risk if we go outside.
That said, we've had more than our share of rain leading up to this week. So walk us through the opportunity for some thunderstorms this week.
Well, a lot of times when we get these heat domes in place, it's hot, humid, but eventually it's going to break. And usually when it breaks, it means you're having something like thunderstorms that are going to help to try to start that cool down process. So starting kind of Wednesday, you know, these excessive heat advisories, excessive heat warnings are going through Wednesday at 8 p.m., that's also the kind of the time frame where we're going to start to see increased chances for afternoon, evening showers and thunderstorms, and kind of seeing daily afternoon, evening thunderstorms Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we might be back in that conversation once again about maybe daily chances for at least heavy rain, maybe lower probability, but not non-zero chances for severe weather. So we'll be back into another active thunderstorm pattern as we go into the late week and weekend period.
You know, I know, Jason, from looking at the forecast last night, we're still going to have some pretty warm temperatures after we drop out of the 90s. So to me, where we're at right now is relatively cool. When will we have highs in the upper 70s and around 80 again?
It may be a little bit, and so I think that's a good note that even though we might break and that forecast has the air temperature.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Going down below 90, we're still going to be really humid, so our heat indices are actually going to stay in the mid to upper 90s, maybe still eclipsing 100, even through towards the end of the late week period. We may not see kind of what those temperatures you're talking about, more of the nice, gentle, you know, cooler summer breeze, but it's warm, 70s, low 80s. Maybe not until as we approach maybe the 4th of July holiday period, but that's pretty far out, and there's a lot of variability in that. So, unfortunately, people just got to prepare for more of the muggy, hot, humid conditions over the next week or so, and hope for maybe that relief or quieter, more enjoyable outdoor weather as we go towards the next holiday weekend.
Do you have a pool over there at the National Weather Service office by chance?
There may be a pool of sweat, so I'll see if it's good conditions to swim in. But we'll stay inside and kind of keep and monitor everything. But it does make for, as we launch a weather balloon every day and every evening to kind of track these weather conditions, those become a little sticky as we release that balloon in the air.
Gotcha. Well, appreciate the update, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
From the National Weather Service office here in Pittsburgh, meteorologist Jason Frazier.
And right now our humidity 85%, the dew point 71, which feels like you're wearing kind of like a wetsuit while you're outdoors.
Yeah, so I don't know what you would you tell people. And I saw a lot of people out in the park yesterday walking in the heat. And again, walking their pets. I think with the pet thing, you might want to take a break from doing that for a few days.
Yeah, or keep them on the grass for a shorter period of time, because as Dr. Mike told us last week, if it would hurt your feet to be barefoot on the asphalt or the cement. Imagine what it's like on the pads of a pet's feet. Oh, by the way, Larry, I was daydreaming about when you said pool in our chat with Jason. I was daydreaming of the perfect pool setup for me. There's a pool right across the way from where I live. My windows face the community pool. Wouldn't it be great if you had a pool at your place with like a pavilion type covering over the top?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and so you could get in the water and you're not in the direct sunlight and you can enjoy the cool water. And wow, that would be perfect.
You know, normally a lot of people that have pools have them heated because most of the time it's not warm enough. But when you get these kind of temperatures, actually, like if you went to the Gulf of Mexico, the water's so warm. I love that. A lot of people want it ice cold and refreshing. Okay, go ahead, jump in. Knock yourself out.
I'm with you.
But today, any pool that's open, I know they'll do big business. It is the Big K Morning Show. Following a year of devastating wildfires, had catastrophic flooding, powerful hurricanes over the course of the past year alone, and there is a foundation that represents our first responders. The NACS Foundation Executive Director is Kevin O'Connell, joins us on KDK. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So this is a combination of, when I say first responders, you have a list of, 911 dispatchers, nurses, doctors, firefighters, police officers, emergency managers. I mean, there's a whole list of first responders, which we really appreciate the work that they all do collectively throughout the course of a year.
Yeah, there's a whole list there, and even including the American Red Cross volunteers. And again, this is our way and, you know, our day on July 24th to recognize them and really thank them for all their work behind the scenes. But this award that we have coming up actually opens up through July 7th. This is a way to, you know, recognize them on a national to local scale. And I know we all know somebody in our lives that have done something heroic.
And I think it's so important that people understand that so many of these people do this as a passion and a career. They're not doing it for the money.
No, they certainly are. You know, I think back to my grandfather. He was a volunteer firefighter, and he would wake up, you know, that 2 a.m. Alarm to a house fire, and, you know, 3 or 4 hours later, if that fire was put out, he was going to his full-time job and vice versa. And, we hear stories of the volunteers, we hear stories of the paid first responders, but this is just such a much-needed day and way that I think we all can put people on a pedestal and recognize them for those heroic efforts.
Kevin, is this the first time, or has there been someone in the past? And if so, give us an idea of who won last year.
Yeah, so this is the first time that this First Responder of the Year award on behalf of the NACS Foundation has launched. So we're just launching it here in 2025. But this is part of a bigger initiative. We are in our seventh year of our 24/7 day. So that's July 24th coming up here in just a few weeks. And that is a day where the convenience store industry, about 35,000 stores, 90 brands across the country, come together to recognize the first responders that also work 24/7, 365 around the clock. And it's just a unique way that we, again, can bring those first responders that come through our doors every single day to protect our communities, come in, refuel on a night shift, and grab that cup of coffee. This is a way to bring them all together and say, hey, here's some local offers. Here's some ways that we can recognize you. And again, our theme this year is We See You, We Thank You. And that's one thing we're doing with this award.
Yeah, and it may surprise people that NACS is the National Association of Convenience Stores. And yes, first responders need that convenience in many cases when it's a 24-hour kind of deal. So can we nominate somebody we know?
Yeah, so anybody can nominate. Listen, it could be your coworker that you work across in the police station or firehouse. It also could be any public listening, hey, your mom, dad, aunt, uncle, cousin, or somebody, maybe you just witnessed something heroic happen in your community. We'd love to send you, the nomination form is 247day.org/first responder award. And so it's really quick, takes 30 seconds or less, and we are collecting those nominations through July 7th.
Kevin O'Connell, Executive Director of the NACS Foundation. Thanks for letting us know. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay cool. All right, so that's another group of people that work in the heat. Paul, we were talking, with Joe Potashek from JP Roofing about what he does with his team. Think about all the first responders. Think about the police officers.
Or especially firefighters with that gear that they have to wear.
Yeah. I mean,
can you imagine how much weight a firefighter would lose in these conditions wearing all that gear in this heat? Wow.
It's a challenge. For anybody that works outside, I was thinking about that. When you drive by and you see construction workers, particularly, obviously, if you're in your car, you're seeing them do work on the highways, and they got to be there out in the sun, in the heat, and then take heat from people sometimes on top of everything else, right?
I was also thinking, someone else who really suffers in these conditions, how about the people wearing the costumes at PNC Park?
Oh, the pierogies.
Yeah, and the parrot, right?
You bring up a good point because at Disney World, I was thinking, the humidity there is much greater most of the time than it is here, obviously, in the summer especially. I mean, it's hot. But to do those jobs, they got to have some kind of air conditioning device inside.
You would think that there's something to help them circulate the air a little bit.
Yeah, I'm curious, Aaron, what are you going to do now? Do you have AC?
I do have AC, but I've lived without AC before, and it really can get brutal. It's almost like keep your curtains.
Oh yeah.
Keeping the sun out of the windows so that natural heat doesn't seep in too. But
well, wear light loose clothing. Wear a floppy hat. And
wear sunscreen.
Because Larry wants you to look frumpy.
Frumpy. But you'll be cooler as a frumpster.
Truly.
This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard. And every Monday at this time, we sit down with our local retirement expert, Brian Caranta, brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
Hot.
Hot, I know. It was super hot yesterday, and we were painting an attic. Not the best day to paint in an attic.
No, you got to skip that. Too late, I guess. Meanwhile.
Yeah, but I'm down like 6 pounds just from yesterday.
Good. All right, Brian, we're seeing a significant amount of anxiety right now. When people are asked if they feel prepared for retirement, there's a lot of uncertainty. Truth is, most people have no real written plan anyway, do they?
They don't. And, let's be honest. Most people think that they have a plan because they have an advisor and what I call their POS. That stands for their pile of stuff. And what they actually have is just an investment portfolio. Maybe they have some nice pie charts and and someone who calls them once a year to talk about, you know, the rate of return that the account performed at. But that's not a retirement plan. It's like thinking you're prepared for a long road trip because you have a car and a map. You have a vehicle and some directions, but if you haven't checked the oil, the tires, planned your stops, or considered potential detours, you're going to rely a lot on luck to get to your destination. So you're driving without a true navigation strategy. There's no plan in an analogy like that.
So what is a real plan?
Yeah, this is like, you know, this is a tough one because this is not taught in the financial planning industry, which is mind-blowing. They teach you how to invest money. But when it comes to actual retirement planning, a lot of people say they offer retirement plans, but they're not. They're just investment plans. And that is the million-dollar question. But here's what a real retirement plan is. First off, it asks a lot of the hard questions, such as what happens when the paychecks stop? What happens when your spouse dies and half the income vanishes overnight? What happens if you need long-term care? What accounts do you take the money from first? And how do you even take the money out of your account? What happens when tax rates go up suddenly and the money you're taking from your retirement accounts doesn't go as far? You used to keep $1,000 a month. Now you're only keeping $800, you know, from the same withdrawal, and you got less money in your pocket now. And here's the truth. Nobody wants to say out loud. Most advisors don't have a clue how to build a true distribution strategy because they don't do this every day, but we do. And so let me ask the listeners a question. I mean, if think about it like this, if you had a heart condition, would you see a general doctor or would you go straight to the cardiologist?
Well, the obvious answer is, yeah, you want a cardiologist.
Right. Yes. And you know, retirement is surgery. There's a lot of parts. It's delicate. There's no do-over. And we're working with, most people are working with generalists who are helping 30-year-olds save for a house and at the same time helping 65-year-olds retire. I mean, that's like going to a foot doctor for open heart surgery, you know. And at Secure Money Advisors, we do one thing and we do it at the highest level. We work only with people nearing retirement and we build them an income machine. We protect what they've built. We cover their healthcare risk, reduce their taxes. And most importantly, we help them pass the money on to their family. And we help, you know, create new monthly paychecks. But we show them how to withdraw the money properly from all these accounts they've been saving in over the years.
Yeah, I know that you and your team have built a model for this. This is what you do.
Right. And you don't just get one advisor and an assistant at Secure Money Advisors. You get a full dedicated team to you. You get a Medicare expert, tax pros, estate attorneys, investment strategists, you know, a planning team that actually talks to each other. We're not just winging it and we're not guessing. We're building financial engines that run whether the markets are up, down, or sideways. And that's always going to be how the markets are.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot of people want a team that they know are going to be there for them.
They do. They do. But here's the problem, Larry. People stay stuck. They like their advisor. They've been with them for years. But let me say something that might make a few people uncomfortable. This is not about loyalty because you like someone. It's about results. You don't owe your advisor anything if something goes wrong. And if something does go wrong, by the way, I promise you, they're not going to pay your bills. They're not going to be covering your long-term care costs. They're not going to be helping you with your kids manage their estate. This is your money, your life, and you better make sure you have the right people working for you.
So call Secure Money Advisors. Get a second opinion, absolutely free, no obligation, and no one's going to try to sell you anything, right, Brian?
No, that's not the way we work. We help you solve problems. And by the way, if you are on the right track, there is one thing I love doing, and that's telling people you're doing a great job. Keep doing what you're doing. But if you're not on the right track, when would you want to know?
RightTrackPittsburgh.com. Get a free copy of Brian's book or call 800-656-8616. All right, Brian, back to the attic.
Yes, back to the attic. We'll see you again next week. Take care.
All right. Brian Caranta, Secure Money Advisor.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White News Desk, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said Sunday the U.S. does not seek war with Iran after bombing three nuclear sites. Retired Marine Corps General Kenneth McKenzie agrees, but
we've made it clear to them that if they choose to attack us, our response will be overwhelming.
And that said, a lot of people hoping that that part of it is a one-off.
Now we're in the middle of a heat wave with a high in the mid-90s today that could set a new record.
This is definitely not a temperature that we see too often here in western PA.
Yeah, Jason, a meteorologist at the National Weather Service, told us before we average about 9-10 days where we get to 90 degrees, but this week is a heat warning through at least Wednesday night.
Extraordinary. And Paul Skeens was not pitching Sunday, Larry, but Pirates fans turned down a big numbers anyway to get the Skeen Superman bobblehead.
Oh, we were so excited to get the Superman bobblehead because he is the Superman pitcher. We love Paul Skeens.
Yeah, he is. And you're right. He didn't pitch yesterday, but they showed up. And it's a bobblehead where he's pulling his Pirates jersey open. And there's the Superman logo on his chest. And as you pointed out, you know, he's really started a fashion trend with that hairy mustache.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a couple of our coworkers are trying it out.
Yeah, it's not working for them. How do we tell them? All right. Thank you, Paul. Hey, Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister. In our 8 o'clock hour as we begin the week, our resident political analyst, who I always say wears many hats. Do you get a break when school's out to some degree from that work?
Yes and no. Because you have to remember, I'm dealing with lawmakers. So, for example, you have the Pennsylvania budget going on, and other states are doing the same exact thing, and that determines school funding. So you're talking to legislators and lawmakers in regards to what will the school funding look like for at least the next year. And in some states, they do their budgets on a two-year basis. So they're having discussions every other year to dictate the next 2 years. So you're talking about funding. You're talking about curriculum. You're talking about school size. Sometimes you're talking about schools closing. Sometimes you're talking about schools opening. So it's not dealing with kids, but you're still dealing with the decisions that impact kids. And if you and doing that while people are on vacation and trying to get their attention to say, okay, I know it's June and I know it's 85 degrees outside. August is coming. What are we doing? So in some regards, it's a little easier. It's not as tense. But the flip side is if you don't plan well in June, your September is not going to look too good.
That sounds like a question. Do you ask, for instance, the Steelers? A lot of people think, well, after the season's over, they come back in a few months to a draft. Oh, they come back at the end of summer for the camp. But
it's not 1967 anymore.
It's all in, all on.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of people surprised to hear the U.S. bombed Iran on Saturday when we got the word. Didn't know how to react because that's a significant, significant maneuver with these 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs, never used before, dropped by the B-2s with Tomahawk missiles also. And I think the hope is that this is a one-off for that part of it. I don't know too many people that want to get in an all-out war with any country right now.
Well, one, for hardliners in Iran, they're going to look at this and say, this is why Pakistan insisted upon having a nuclear weapon. This is why India insisted upon having a nuclear weapon. This is why China and the Soviet Union and even North Korea insisted upon having a nuclear weapon. Because if you do not have that ultimate deterrent, you are vulnerable to this at all time. There are going to be factions in Iran that said, see, we told you that the Americans could not be trusted long term. And for those that don't trust the United States going all the way back to the 1950s and do not trust Western powers going all the way back further than that, when you talk about Iran and Great Britain, the UK, these are the type of incidences that ferment that lack of trust. We're not going to be able to get the same type of diplomatic solution that we're looking for. So now we have to ask ourselves the question, what cycle are we on now? There are going to be factions in Iran that are going to want to have some type of asymmetrical response. That goes back to terrorism. And to be quite honest, Larry, I think that cities like Pittsburgh need to be on high alert. I think areas such as Allegheny County have to be on high alert much more than your New York cities, your Philadelphias, because...
Really?
Yes.
Some people may be surprised to hear you say that.
I say that because if you're going to go after a target to create a level of terror, terrorism is all about not only the damage, but the fear. You're not going to go after a city that is always on high alert. New York City's always on high alert. L.A., always on high alert. Chicago, always on high alert. You go after the medium cities. What's the latest big terrorism attack that we had? It was New Orleans. Now, granted, people party in New Orleans around New Year's Eve, but it's not your major New York City type of city. I think that we here in Western Pennsylvania, and I would even go up to Erie as well, that part of Western Pennsylvania, local leaders need to be on high alert and really start looking at the geopolitical climate and prepare for that. If we're looking more at plastic bags and homelessness than we are about can we be attacked at a time like this because of geopolitical matters, it makes us more vulnerable. And I think that this is going to be a litmus test for leaders, not just Governor Shapiro, but I'm talking about mayors and county executives and local city councils are going to have to be much more attentive to these type of things than they're used to being.
The bombs dropped were targeted on nuclear sites, they believed, where they were enriching, you know, uranium and making progress and had a true nuclear threat. Do you think this is a one-off for bombing?
For this episode, yes. But again, if you're the Iranians, and you say, look, we already said 10 years ago with the JCPOA, when President Obama was in office, that we want to have nuclear capabilities for civilian purposes. We allowed you to bring experts in to check us on that process. We were complying with the agreement, and your next president pulled out of it unilaterally. And the Israelis have now persuaded that president to do something that no other American president has done. We still don't know if all of their nuclear materials have been destroyed. And that's one of the things that has to be confirmed. If that's not the case, and again, if you're a hardliner in Iran that does not trust the West, why not say, okay, they didn't get to all of it. This makes us have to accelerate this even more. We have to get to a bomb. And then you go back to your allies. You go back to China. You go back to Russia. And you say, look, we have told you repeatedly, you've told us, we've told you, you can't trust the West. And here's another example of that. You're going to need to help us move further along. And the last thing we could afford to have is to have China and Russia become closer to Iran. We didn't like when China got closer to Russia when it came to the Ukraine war. If we now see those two countries get closer to Iran moving forward, now we have a serious problem in the Middle East.
All right, we'll have more with Lenny McAllister with us on the Big K Morning Show. Hey, Tamira Rush,
yes.
Back from a health hiatus.
Yes, I had foot surgery. I had a ganglion cyst on my foot that needed to be removed immediately.
And you couldn't walk for a while.
I couldn't walk for a while. I couldn't wear, you know me, I'm very stylish.
Yes, you are.
I couldn't wear heels. I couldn't wear any high heels at all. And I couldn't wear shoes, so...
You could have come barefoot.
Okay.
What do you think? You
know, on these floors?
It's
turn around, look around.
95 degrees outside. You could have been okay.
Yeah.
Not on these floors.
No.
I mean, there's...
No, you'd have to be tested for a complete other scan.
Yes, exactly.
So it wasn't true one of our colleagues dropped a bowling ball on your foot.
That's what we heard.
That is not true.
Okay.
That is not true.
Well, it's good to see you.
Accordion, maybe, because
back in action.
I am back, but I have one thing to say. No one around here cares about me at all, other than Pat Sebtak. No one sent a text outside of my boss, PJ Comanchik. No one sent a text to say, "How are you? Are you okay? Do you need anything?"
Well, hold on. Larry and I sent a text with a bowling ball emoji and a question mark,
to
and
whom?
You never responded.
To me?
Yeah, and Pat was our contact.
No, I didn't receive anything, honestly. And I mean, I was on oxycodone for...
We were now the truth comes out. I might have gotten a text from you all, but I was on oxycodone. I don't know.
It's like, oh my goodness. Now, you and I go way back.
Yeah.
I am very disappointed in you, but I'm not. I mean, hey.
Get in line.
that ship sailed, sister.
Jesus, like no one. That is amazing. I've been here 29, almost 30 years. No one even reached out to say, "Hey, are you okay?" Anyway, but I'm doing very well. I look great. I feel great. So I'm good.
All right.
Anyway, we're trending. I'm trending.
T, is there a story behind the fact that your shoes don't match?
This is the first time in her career where she came where her shoes don't match.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say anything, Lenny.
She can still kick you with one foot underneath the table.
I can absolutely do that. But I'm still bandaged. It's still wrapped up. I'm in a little pain. But I wear one croc on my right foot. They have a boot. I'm booted. They booted me for 2 weeks, right? So I was weight bearing.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Or whatever that is.
Are you going to be ready for training camp?
Huh?
For Steeler training
camp? Well, it's after. She'll be ready after the bye week. That's why it's a good thing that we have an early bye week.
Well, we're moving along. But anyway, trending. Are we trending? Do we still
have time to trend? Well, that's trending? Trend away after you've verbally
right now, accordions and bowling balls are trending with
me. I want to say, and I want to get serious when I talk about the incident that happened in East Liberty, right? I mean, you go from Juneteenth in Mellon Park, that was tremendous.
Very peaceful.
I mean, very peaceful. Shout out, big time shout out to B. Marshall and his team. They did a fantastic job this weekend. And we don't want to overshadow what he did this weekend with something as unfortunate as this. However, this is really troublesome. I mean, Facebook is lit up. People are upset. People don't know why. People are looking for questions. I reached out to Olga to see if Mayor Ganey is going to make a statement. She said not at this time, but she would let me know when he does that. But I mean,
so for those that didn't hear, there were five people taken to the hospital, and then at least
10 overall. Others. Yeah. Who were falling, because we're running or falling or something to that effect.
Do we know what started it all.
No, we don't. But there are some news sources that are saying it was at a basketball court where the incident took place. That is not, I'm not certain about that. But I'm just searching, looking to see exactly what it was. 11:45 at night on a Sunday. So, I mean, you have to keep that in mind as well. The temperatures were hot. It was exhausting last night. So, I mean, we really don't know, but...
And the thing about this, T, is, you know, one of the things that we have to do as a community is not conflate the community in Juneteenth and what happened with individuals at 11:45 at night on a Sunday night.
Correct.
With young people. And
correct.
That's, unfortunately, is what happens a lot of times. They conflate the two, and it's like, one does not have to
do with the other. Exactly. And that's why I wanted to make it clear, because Mellon Park is also in East Liberty.
Yep.
So you don't want to for people to put those things together. And that's why I'm making a point today to let the listeners know that the Juneteenth weekend starting on Thursday was tremendous. It was great, family friendly. I mean, he did a fantastic job. So I don't want people to put those two together to say, oh, this is what happens, this is what they do, because these are the things that we often hear. But we have to really, really, really separate the two and just focus on what exactly happened last night.
And we used to hear a lot more about East Liberty, but it's been very quiet for a long, long time. There have been other parts of the city, South Side being one of them, gets a lot of attention, obviously downtown and other communities. But East Liberty's been pretty quiet when it comes to crime.
Yeah. We heard, like you said, something, was it South Side? It was over there. There was huge crowds, thousands of kids or people attending. I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's something that needs to be addressed. I mean, you think about things happening and you don't point fingers, because that's not what we do. But we know for sure that something needs to happen.
All right. Tamara Rush back in the saddle.
I am.
Good morning, show. Larry Richard with our Monday in-studio guest, our colleague, Lenny McAllister. So, Lenny, a lot to unwind after the weekend. It came as a surprise to a lot of people that the United States would actually bomb Iran, in this case, the nuclear sites. 14 of those bunker buster 30,000-pound bombs and a myriad of Tomahawk missiles as well. Me personally hoping that will be enough, but the rest of the world's kind of holding their breath.
And again, it's because there are different ways that Iran can respond. Again, Hamas is an arm of Iran. Hezbollah is an arm of Iran. The Houthis are an arm of Iran. We know that they are the largest sponsor of terrorism in the world as a nation state. We know that there are terrorism cells throughout the world. The bottom line is, if Iran attacks, for example, the UK, their subway system, France, Germany, Spain, you attack Western Europe, you now are pulling more people into this. And if they were to respond in kind, now, again, you have Russia, who's already been pushing back against the NATO powers in Western Europe. Now their interest peaks in getting involved in this. The Chinese, who gets a lot of their oil from Iran through the Strait of Hormuz, if that ends up getting threatened, it's going to be less about our economy, even though it will, in fact, impact our economy, but it's going to be more about the Chinese economy. Now, let's not forget, you have all these things that can disrupt the geoeconomic affairs of the world at a time that we're living in post-Liberation Day, April 2nd, with all the tariffs and the back and forth. We were already in an economic war, a trade war. Now we're talking about involving the military in multiple places. We are at war. Now, the question's going to be, Larry, what does war look like and how do we de-escalate it? Because the economic war's already been going on. Now we're having military strikes. Now we're having it with our allies. And now we've taken this step over the weekend. How do we back out of this and start calming tensions down? Which, by the way, ironically enough, MAGA voters are not interventionists. They're isolationists. So to see all these actions happen, it's almost the antithesis, if not almost, it is the antithesis of what they voted for in 2024. The average MAGA voter is America first, leave the rest of the world alone, make sure you take care of our workers, you make sure you take care of me and let others take care of themselves.
So that said, the response from Iran immediately was to send a barrage of missiles to Israel. Some got through and hit targets inside their country. So nobody's 100% sure what will happen next, but it has put everybody on edge.
And it hit a hospital. So again, now Israel has the decision to make, because now you're talking about an asymmetrical response. Because the rhetoric can very easily be, we hit your nuclear facilities. You knew this was coming because from several reports, there were not personnel on site, and you moved your nuclear material, which means you knew we were coming. So we minimized casualties there. Your response is they hit a hospital in Israel. There can be an argument to be made that they're going to respond in kind and take out a civilian target in Iran. Maybe it's something smaller. Maybe it's on the outskirts of a major city or a second-tier city. But once we start doing that, we have escalated things. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Israel does as a response to Iran's attacks as a result of the attack from the United States.
And it has taken the focus off a lot of other issues in the moment. But what beyond this will get most play politically?
Let's see what happens on Wall Street. Let's see what happens in the economy, because we do know when it comes to the Trump administration that they will have pause if stocks in the stock market goes sideways. I mean, TACO exists as an acronym because every time Trump saw the stock market go a certain way, he would pull back on the tariffs. Now, as of right now, what we're hearing is that it's not impacted futures that much yet. But if it were to impact the economy, that would have an impact on what the Trump administration does. And that would have an influence, obviously, on Israel as well. And maybe that's the way we back out. But if traders say we kind of expected this, we baked this into the cake, don't be shocked if you continue to see these volleys, both rhetorically and militarily, going back and forth, at least between Israel and Iran, unfortunately, for the next maybe week, couple of weeks, and then we'll see where things go from there.
Lenny McAllister, a final word coming up in just a few minutes. Lenny, appreciate you coming in today.
Always enjoy being with you, as always, Larry.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White News Desk, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said on Sunday, the U.S. does not seek war with Iran after bombing three nuclear sites. Retired Marine Corps General Kenneth McKenzie agrees, but
we've made it clear to them that if they choose to attack us, our response will be overwhelming.
I think everybody now waiting to see what that response will be, at least when it comes to the United States.
We're in the middle of a heat wave with a high in the mid-90s today, and that could set a new record.
This is definitely not a temperature that we see too often here in Western PA.
Yeah, it brings up a whole series of issues for people, especially if they have no air conditioning or no way to get cool.
And we're talking right now, we're interviewing Dr. Kevin Wong in the newsroom about the way to dehydrate and the role of potassium and other electrolytes. We'll have that story coming up a little bit from now. Also, Paul Skeens didn't pitch Sunday, but Pirates fans turned out in big numbers anyway because
oh, we were so excited to get the Superman bobblehead because he is the Superman pitcher. We love Paul Skeens.
Did you ever get a bobblehead, Lenny?
No.
You're not a bobblehead guy.
No.
Did you see Paul Alexander donated remnants
I have
of his
seen those.
Bobblehead? Oh, yeah. Collection.
What a lineup.
Based on his.
And I love this 1970s ones because that's where you had the mismatched uniforms, which was really cool. That made us unique as Pirates fans back in the 70s.
Those were great unis.
Yes, they were.
And this is tied into the new Superman movie that's coming out. So it's Paul pulling his Pirates jersey open to reveal the Superman logo on his chest. There you go. Thank you, Paul. Okay, morning show. Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister. Get some final thoughts. Lenny, things in some ways typically quiet down in the summer for a period, but we're still looking to get a budget at the state level alone. Now, it doesn't look like we'll get that budget by the end of June, which is when it's supposed to be done.
And people that hear that should not freak out, because this is not the first time this has happened. Now, it as long as it doesn't go down a path we saw 10 years ago, one of Tom Wolf's first budgets, the negotiations went into the fall and then in early winter. That is problematic, obviously. Constitutionally, it's supposed to be done by June 30th. There are times where it just doesn't get done. The question's going to be, when we follow this, Larry, is how far along are they this week? If it's a couple of things here and there, they may pass most of the budget one way and then reconcile the rest afterwards. If they're nowhere near where they want to be, this could go out for a while. This is going to be the last period of time where lawmakers can do this before an election year next year, including a gubernatorial race next year. And one of the things that will come up, and we talked about this at the beginning of the hour, is education funding. It is always one of the biggest political footballs coming out of Harrisburg.
It's the single biggest line item,
yes,
too. So some people suggesting you just can't pour money and make things better necessarily.
Yes, and that is true. And I would agree with that, generally speaking. In fact, I do, and I base my career on that. At the same time, in the Commonwealth, we have this decision that came down from Commonwealth Court a couple of years ago, roughly, that talks about the inequality in funding. So now lawmakers, 203 in the House and 100 in the Senate, or 50 in the Senate, excuse me, have to sit there and look and say, okay, we have this decision from the courts. We're supposed to equalize funding. We have this push of how we've been doing things, and it hasn't been working out per se. And then we have this push from the school choice movement saying people want more scholarships, people want more opportunity, because the more money we dump into public education, we're not getting commensurate results. So you have all three of these things going on at once while they're trying to figure out, as you just said, the largest line item in the state budget annually.
And part of the issue is they don't know exactly what they're getting from the federal level. So it's hard to create a final budget if you have this large gray area.
And on top of that, now the savings that the state had been building up at one point in time is now starting to be eroded. We're not saving at the same rate. Now we have to sit there and say, okay, how will we both increase a budget? Because usually every governor wants to increase the budget. How do we increase a budget, increase education funding and the like, when revenues may be going down? Something that, again, lawmakers have to deal with at a time where the emergency money that came in because of COVID is no longer there for school districts and the state, and we still have these needs that are sitting out there, including learning loss that has not been made up by students after COVID. So we have this ongoing crisis of education at a time where the funding may be going down.
Lenny, always appreciate your time. Have a cool week. You got to be outside a lot.
I'm a dad.
You got baseball.
I'm a dad. Yeah, of course, I mean, I'm going to be outside. I just got to try my best to stay cool.
I mean, we played Little League baseball in high temperatures. I mean.
And we're here.
We're still here. Yeah, so you got baseball games this week?
We have baseball coming up this week. We have basketball camps coming up this week. And, you know, the number one thing I have to try to make sure I do this week, Larry, is try to be cool. But nobody could ever be as cool as Larry Richard.
Wow. On that note, God bless you. Here with our Odyssey sports director every Monday at this time, the great Jeff Hathorn. And you can see Jeff on the radio, though he'd probably wish you wouldn't. You can go to kdkradio.com, check on our live stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company. We've just added KDK Radio YouTube page to the mix. Now we keep adding stuff. We have more apps than you'll ever possibly need, but you can't miss us. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Has bathroom cam come out yet? No,
not legally. No.
All right, good.
You know what I was thinking, and I wanted to ask you obviously about TJ McConnell and his influence, and they came really close to winning this thing, and it's a shame that they didn't, because TJ, you know, from Char Valley, Duquesne University, Arizona, comes off the bench and scores 16 in a game seven and played, you know, I think so many people here were rooting for TJ McConnell, but they came up just short. That's got to be so frustrating.
Yeah, and he kept them in the game in the third. He was their offense in the third quarter. I mean, did he play a perfect game? No. But did he play his tail off and do everything he could to keep Indiana, keep his team in the game? And you saw that emotion afterwards. You know, he left it out on the court. And that there's no reason he should feel ashamed. You talk about giving maximum effort and getting everything out of your ability. That's TJ Watt. He's gotten everything out of what he was given and then made everything else better. He should be an inspiration. Hopefully other, you know, kids are watching and kind of get into basketball and we can get basketball back to what it once was.
Yeah, he's definitely been an inspiration. As you know, it was always considered, oh, he's undersized, he can't play at Duquesne. Then he became their rookie of the year and so on. I know you've documented his career, then Sean Miller at Arizona, and then, well, he's never going to make the NBA. Here we are a decade later coming off being that close to getting a world title.
Can you imagine when Sean brought him in? Like, how many people are like, dude, I know you're from Western PA, but why are you bringing this guy in? And then probably the first practice or first game, like other people, oh, okay, I get it now. I get it now.
What is it about TJ McConnell that makes him so successful? What do you see that he's able to do at the highest level?
Well, he's got a few good basketball minds in the family. And I think that has rubbed off on a lot of the things he does. Not only does, I mean, he's got talent and he obviously has worked to make himself the best physical specimen that he can. But he anticipates, he knows where people are going. He uses both hands. I mean, you'll notice at times, like he'll drive to from the right side, but use his left hand because he knows he's got somebody on his back or vice versa. Like there are things that he just knows instinctively because of all the work he's put in. And he needs all of that to have an advantage because he's not blessed with being 6'8 or 6'10 or 7 feet. He was blessed with his family and everything that they were able to help him learn about the game and then all the hard work he put in. But I mean, that's the thing with him. I mean, he has some quickness, but I think that's accentuated by the fact he knows where the next pass is going. Like he understands the game at a higher level. And I just wonder where he's going to coach someday.
Oh, I could see him being a coach. And his dad, Tim, the famous coach, like coached so many people around here outside of Char Valley. First, the men, and then his daughter, Megan's team that won a state title.
Yeah. And Megan is very much like her brother in that she's in the WNBA. She just had an injury, so you don't see her on the stat line, but undrafted, worked her tail off, went into Duquesne with a name, but not many expectations, made herself a better player. And what do you know? You have a brother and sister in the NBA and WNBA.
It was pretty cool that moment when Tim was on national television because he was giving TJ a hard time about missing two free throws in the last game early. But that's Tim. I mean, Tim coached my youngest daughter, Emma, how to shoot the three-point shot, and she ended up starting as a freshman. And I attribute a lot of that to Tim, and she was once coached by Sherry, who is married to, you know, another McConnell. I mean, it's their influence in basketball in this region is unprecedented.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, Susie's one of the greatest women's basketball players of all time, not just in Western Pennsylvania, all time. And her sister, Kathy, took over Carnegie Mellon when they were at the bottom of their conference. And in 1 year, they went from the bottom of their conference to the NCAA tournament.
That just doesn't happen.
Listen, CMU's not digging into the portal either. I mean, what she did there is pretty amazing. And I think sometimes she gets forgotten about, but Kathy's a hell of a coach too.
All right. That said, Jeff, what do? We got to wait now 1 month, actually from today, the players report to St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Do you see anything of significance happening between here and there? Another TJ might be in the conversation.
Yeah, and know this. People are going to see stuff all over national media because the Steelers move the needle. So you're going to see all kinds of Steelers stories. It doesn't necessarily mean there's news, but if you bring their name up, people's attention will turn to what you're talking about. So you're going to see a ton of stuff about TJ. Can Aaron what's Aaron going to do this year? All that stuff. But there's really nothing to report right now. I will say this. I was impressed with what the teammates thought of Aaron in the locker room. 3 days. I think the biggest test for a team is how do you deal after a loss or a couple of losses in a row? Like, that shows the true character in the clubhouse or in the locker room. So, I mean, time will tell with that, but it seems like early good returns. And Larry, we do have the trade deadline of Major League Baseball at the end of next month. So, you know, the Pirates need to get some hitting. Ben Cherington said they're open-minded to discussions on trades. And let's see how he can remake this roster and make this a winning team going into next year.
It was fun to see them get some hits yesterday and get some runs and, more importantly, get a win for their pitchers who have pitched lights out but aren't getting the wins or even decisions in the game because the team can't hit.
Larry, it's amazing. I mean, Paul Skenes has a 0.70 ERA in June and doesn't have a win. I mean, how does that happen? And Mitch Keller has three times in 16 starts has he given up more than three runs, and he's 1-10. Like, it's insane how bad their offense was. But you're right, they had a good day yesterday, and I think every time there's a good offensive day, you think, okay, if they could carry that over. The season will tell you that they won't, but who knows? Maybe right now they'll carry it over going into Milwaukee.
It seems like Donnie Kelly has had a positive impact, even though he's playing with the same lineup, basically. But he's making some moves that have gotten them at least close to .500 since he took over.
I think with the exception of what Cruz did on Friday and not hustling, we've seen hustle plays. We've seen the fundamentals done right. And that's been better under Donnie than it was under Derek. Other than that, I mean, a lot of it's still very similar. But I think those type of things have been done so much better. And I think there's a buy-in. Whenever there's a new manager or new coach, there's a buy-in. But I think there's really been a buy-in with Donnie, and credit to him, because he needed to make that happen because he was coming, you know, he was still on staff and he needed to prove that he would be able to do that. And he's done a nice job. The record, sadly, is still 300-500 with him, but, you know, it's been better under Don Kelly. And I think he's showing that he has the chops to be a major league manager. We'll see what happens, because if they change GMs, then that person might want to bring in their own manager.
Jeff Hathorn, always appreciate your time, partner. Hopefully you get a little vacation sometime in the next month.
I am going to do that.
You're going to be on the full court press here shortly again.
Think anybody's going to be in Latrobe to watch the Steelers this summer?
Oh, my gosh. It'll be mayhem. All right, Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Our Odyssey sports director, Jeff Hathorn. The free Odyssey app, take us with you wherever you go, AUDACY. And we'll keep you posted on breaking news and weather information. And Saturday night, certainly the breaking news was the U.S. bombs Iran. And to fill you in on the details, from CBS, Michael George.
The world is watching and waiting to see what Iran will do after the United States joined Israel's air campaign to destroy the Islamic Republic's nuclear program. Three enrichment sites were targeted, some hit with 30,000-pound bunker-busting bombs. Now, the extent of the damage is still unclear. But now President Trump is suggesting support for a regime change in Iran. CBS's Bradley Blackburn is here with more for us.
All weekend, administration officials had stressed that this was a limited, targeted attack. We know the B-2 bombers that conducted these strikes are now back on U.S. soil in Missouri. But in Washington, there is some question about the purpose of this mission, whether it really was just to target nuclear sites or to spark larger political change.
Mixed messages on Iran. On social media Sunday, President Donald Trump wrote, "It's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change?" He posted hours after his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, said this on CBS News Face the Nation.
What we are focused on is not the changing of the regime,
Okay, that's up to the Iranian people.
Saturday's strikes on three Iranian nuclear sites were codenamed Operation Midnight Hammer. A White House official tells CBS News President Trump gave the final go-ahead from Marine One that same day during a call with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth.
The battle damage assessment is ongoing, but our initial assessment, as the chairman said, is that all of our precision munitions struck where we wanted them to strike and had the desired effect.
Satellite images show the aftermath of the strikes on Fordow, Natanz, and Isfahan. The president claimed on social media that monumental damage was done, with the largest damage far below ground level.
I knew in advance.
Yesterday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu acknowledged that he was given a heads up about the strikes. He says his country is close to achieving its goals in the conflict as Israel and Iran continue trading strikes. Anti-war protests popped up around the U.S. Sunday as the White House now calls for diplomacy with Iran over its nuclear program. And in Washington, many Democratic lawmakers and a few Republicans suggested this weekend's strikes were unconstitutional because they hadn't been authorized by Congress. Yesterday, the defense secretary said congressional leaders were informed after the attacks had been completed.
From CBS. So we'll see where we go from here.
Yeah, I guess the two things that need to be pointed out after that report, the first one would be, I think the president's going to have to clarify that tweet last night about regime change. Was he just in favor of it happening, encouraging the Iranians, or was he indicating a policy change? And of course, you have everyone inside the beltways jumping to conclusions without a clear idea what that is, really. And the second thing is that repeatedly, Presidents Obama, President Clinton, President Biden, President Bush have used the War Powers Act to make attacks without the approval of Congress under the War Powers Act. And the report doesn't indicate that.
Yeah, they were places like Yemen, Syria, Afghanistan, yep. Iraq, Libya,
yep.
Over the years. But the big question is, above and beyond all that, what does happen next based on what was done Saturday?
And I think, Larry, that the three things that stand out right now are, well, there could be attacks on U.S. forces in the region, particularly in Iraq, neighboring Iraq. Also, there's the Strait of Hormuz. The Iranian legislature voted to close it. Now, can they do that? We don't know. Have they started? Not so far. And then the third thing that I'm concerned about more than anything else is cyber attacks or lone wolves operating here in the United States, for example, going after our power infrastructure or something like that.
Heightened sense of security and being alert.
Right.
And people are saying, you know, if you see something, say something. We don't know what possibly could happen here on U.S. soil. Griffin 10 until 2. We'll check in with Marty in just a few minutes. A lot going on in and around town and around the world for that matter. But most importantly in the moment, people dealing with extreme heat. So Paul Rasmus and I had a chance to catch up with meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service office here in Pittsburgh to talk about the extreme heat.
That's correct. So the record high for today in Pittsburgh is actually 95 degrees, which is what we have forecasted for a high today. And our records go back to 1875. This is definitely not a temperature that we see too often here in Pittsburgh itself. So combine that with relative humidity that's going to be warm, and heat indices are going to be easily into the hundreds and in likely over 105 degrees. So people need to continue to take safe precautions, maybe reduce your outdoor activities and make sure you're hydrated, and check on those who maybe don't have maybe some of the systems in place with air conditioning, or they may be more sensitive to heat conditions that we're going to be seeing over the next couple of days.
Jason, heat waves like the one we're experiencing, how often do they happen?
They aren't too frequent, but I would say it's kind of like once every about 5-6 years or so that we can see these sort of conditions with these sort of temperatures and the number of days where we potentially could be above 95 degrees. We have seen that in the recent past, with 2020 having a streak of consecutive days with over 90 degrees that are going to be longer maybe than we'll see here. And we had some low temperatures that remained above 70 degrees. That was pretty long back in 2011. And so can see this, and we have seen this in historical records, but these are also the once in every 5 years or so that's events that we have to be aware of and take our precautions with and reduce our risk if we go outside.
That said, we've had more than our share of rain leading up to this week. So Walk us through this week.
Well, a lot of times when we get these heat domes in place, it's hot, humid, but eventually it's going to break. And usually when it breaks, it means you're having something like thunderstorms that are going to help to try to start that cool down process. So starting kind of Wednesday, you know, these excessive heat advisories, excessive heat warnings are going through Wednesday at 8 p.m. That's also the kind of the time frame where we're going to start to see increased chances for afternoon, evening showers and thunderstorms, and kind of seeing daily afternoon, evening thunderstorms Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we might be back in that conversation once again about maybe daily chances for at least heavy rain, maybe lower probability, but not non-zero chances for severe weather. So we'll be back into another active thunderstorm pattern as we go into the late week and weekend period.
You know, I know, Jason, from looking at the forecast last night, we're still going to have some pretty warm temperatures after we drop out of the 90s. So to me, where we're at right now is relatively cool. When will we have highs in the upper 70s and around 80 again?
It may be a little bit, and so I think that's a good note that even though we might break and that forecast has the air temperature going down below 90, we're still going to be really humid. So our heat indices are actually going to stay in the mid to upper 90s, maybe still eclipsing 100, even through towards the end of the late week period. We may not see kind of what those temperatures you're talking about, more of the cooler summer breeze, but it's warm, 70s, low 80s. Maybe not until as we approach maybe the 4th of July holiday period, but that's pretty far out, and there's a lot of variability in that. So, unfortunately, people just got to prepare for more of the muggy, hot, humid conditions over the next week or so, and hope for maybe that relief or quieter, more enjoyable outdoor weather as we go towards the next holiday weekend.
National Weather Service meteorologist Jason Frazier. The big story around the world, of course, is the bombing the U.S. did on Saturday at nuclear sites in Iran, and the details of how they pulled it off are from the Pentagon, CBS's Charlie Daggett.
The B-2s led a force of more than 125 American aircraft in an operation the Pentagon dubbed Midnight Hammer. Seven B-2s took off at midnight on Friday, headed east for Iran's nuclear production sites, while seven more flew west on a decoy mission to the Pacific. It was a B-2 head fake, Joint Chiefs Chairman Dan Kane said, to maintain tactical surprise.
A deception effort known only to an extremely small number of planners and key leaders here in Washington and in Tampa.
The B-2 strike package flew 18 hours to their targets in Iran, refueling multiple times along the way. Before entering Iranian airspace, the B-2s were joined by F-22 and F-35 fighter jets to escort them in a tightly timed maneuver requiring exact synchronization.
The lead B-2 dropped two GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrator weapons on the first of several aim points at Fordow. As the president stated, the remaining bombers then hit their targets as well.
A third nuclear site was hit by two dozen Tomahawk missiles fired from a submarine offshore.
The Tomahawk missiles being the last to strike at Esfahan to ensure we retain the element of surprise throughout the operation.
Satellite images of the deeply buried production facility at Fordow shows holes indicating where the penetrating bombs hit.
In total, U.S. forces employed approximately 75 precision-guided weapons during this operation. This included, as the president stated, 14 30,000-pound GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrators, marking the first ever operational use of this weapon.
Officials don't think a single shot was fired toward the American aircraft on the way in or out, as if Iran's air defenses never saw them. We're told that U.S. troops across the region were not informed of this plan to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities until it was underway, but that enhanced
Force protection was already in place in case of Iranian retaliation. Charlie Daggett, CBS News at the Pentagon.
Albert Persky in White News Desk. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said Sunday the U.S. does not seek war with Iran after the bombings. And retired Marine Corps General Kenneth McKenzie agrees, but
we've made it clear to them that if they choose to attack us, our response will be overwhelming.
And I think I would imagine most Americans feel hopefully that was enough, at least for our participation actively in bombing.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears, Larry. We're in the middle of a heat wave with a high in the mid-90s today. It could set a record, so hydration is a must, including electrolytes. But Dr. Kevin Wong tells us people with conditions like diabetes, for example, should consult their doctors first.
Very, very, very dangerous if you don't understand someone's particular medical conditions.
Yeah, he brings up a very good point. And a lot of people have respiratory issues as well and are compromised otherwise.
And so today being a Code Orange day, you really need to limit outdoor activity for that very reason. Paul Skeens did not pitch on Sunday, but Pirates fans turned out in big numbers because...
Oh, we were so excited to get the Superman bobblehead because he is the Superman pitcher. We love Paul Skeens.
And the bobblehead is in conjunction with the movie Superman that's going to be released, the next version, and... The Skeens bobblehead features Paul pulling open his Pirates jersey, and there it is, the red Superman logo. I couldn't believe. I mean, you couldn't get that many people to do anything in that heat, and yet there they were in line to get these bobbleheads.
Not only that, but when I saw shots of the stands, you know, the lower down seats in the sunshine, where it was kind of sparse, but you look under where it was shady underneath the awning, and man, it was packed. I mean, they had a good sized crowd on Sunday. You know, it's a tough year for the Pirates again, but having Paul Skeens takes the edge off of it. It's a good thing.
And you know, if they could get anything going, they have the pitching to do it. So if they can make a trade for a bat or two.
They've got a pitching staff set for playoffs, right?
They really do. By the way, the Bucks finally did hit, and they out-hit the Rangers 8-3.
15 hits yesterday.
Yeah, that's what you want to see, and that'll help with that pitching support a winning record. Coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin. Lot going on next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies. Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.